Our second parasha this Shabbat is entitled Tzav, meaning give the command, and it covers Leviticus chapters 6 through 8. It opens by describing the steps for restitution when someone has defrauded another over property. This includes things like finding lost property and lying about it, or having something entrusted to you and then lying to the owner saying it was lost or stolen in order to keep it for yourself. The offender must make full restitution and add 1/5 of the item's value. The guilt offering to Adonai cannot be offered until after complete restitution has been made to the rightful owner. The lesson? We must repair our relationships with one another before we presume to come before the Lord. Yeshua confirmed this idea when he said, "Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering." Next is the command that fire be kept burning continually on the altar. That's why we got the wood up there. It was never to go out. Josephus wrote, and the rabbis later confirmed, that during the time of the Second Temple, a special day was set aside for everyone to bring wood to the temple so that the supply would never be depleted in order to keep the fire of the altar going. The lampstand or menorah that stood in front of the temple, together with this command that fire be kept burning continually on the altar, form the basis for the traditional Ner Tamid, the perpetual light found usually above the ark in most synagogues. It reminds us of the days when the temple still stood and represents a yearning that it be built again. Chapter 6 and the first part of 7 concern burnt offerings, grain offerings, sin offerings, and guilt offerings. But in chapter 7, we are instructed about the shlamim, the peace or fellowship offerings, of course, from the word shalom. These were especially significant as they were altogether voluntary. For example, a person might be at peace with God and simply want to thank him for his mercy and his generosity, his kindness. And that is where the peace offerings came in, given purely from a heart filled with gratitude. Serving the living God was meant to be so much more than religious obligation. But it was also a very serious matter. Anyone who ate the meat of a peace offering in a state of uncleanness was to be put to death. The most significant of the peace offerings was the thanksgiving offering. If, for example, you had been delivered from the attack of an enemy, or were healed of a sickness, or you had taken a vow during a time of distress, and now you were safe and sound, you could bring a thanksgiving offering. The rabbis regarded the thanksgiving offering to be of the highest order, declaring that during the Messianic age, whereas all other sacrifices will have served their purposes, these will continue on. Peace offerings illustrate how much more is possible than mere minimalist religion. And there have always been those who play church, doing the least possible in order to squeak by. But then there have always been those who have a vibrant living relationship with God and want to go over and above. In that way, the peace offerings were a good barometer of one's devotion to the Lord. Chapter 8 describes the consecration of Aaron and his sons as priests to Adonai. Their ordination was an elaborate ceremony. There were washings and anointings and ceremonial clothing and the sacrifice of a bull and 2 rams. Some of the blood of the second ram was put on Aaron's right earlobe, on his right thumb, and on the big toe of his right foot, and the same was done for his sons. It paints a picture of the need for those who would serve God to have attentive ears, obedient hands, and cautious feet. The mind, the will, and the ways of a man all need to be surrendered to the Lord. And it puts to lie this idea, this notion that we can compartmentalize our lives. No. A man's private life and the public discharge of his duties are not separate, unrelated matters. The whole person must be consecrated to God. This ought to be true especially for all of us who are called a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Let me close with this thought. Because so often I myself have failed. I have sinned. I fail to give God my very best. I fall for the lie of compartmentalization. Because of this, I find great comfort in the fact that all along, God provided sin offerings and guilt offerings, peace offerings, and thanksgiving offerings so that a man might have atonement for sin, reconciliation with the Lord, and beyond that, the invitation to draw near to him in gratitude. But you know, the scriptures are abundantly clear, and Ryan well alluded to this. The scriptures are clear that the sacrifices of bulls, rams, and goats could never pay for the sins of Glenn. And so I'm profoundly comforted and grateful for the once-for-all-time sacrifice of Messiah, the Son of God, Yeshua, who is the true Ner Tamid, eternal light, as John described him, whose coming into the world gave light to all mankind. His righteous death made possible the complete forgiveness of all of our sins, reconciliation with the Father, and has secured our place in the world to come. You know, one day a group of religious Jewish people sought out Yeshua and asked him what it was that God wanted them to do. They wanted him to sum it all up in one overarching commandment. And he answered them, saying that what God wanted them to do was to believe in the one he sent. Tzav, give the command. Yeshua's beloved disciple John, who would later go on to become the great apostle, wrote this. This is God's command, to believe in the name of his son, Messiah Yeshua, and to love one another. The command is given. Will you comply?